Why, in your experience, do people fall for scams?
So what I'd really love to do, I'd love to start off by kind of setting the scene a little bit, if you don't mind. Now, if we think about scams and we look through history about scams, we can see scams take the sort of the guise of con men. One of my favorite films is Matchstick Men, and that's a great way where, I don't know what the phrase is, but they sort of con the con man. And that's all I'll say. I don't want to ruin the film for anyone that hasn't seen it. But let's set the scene here. So if we think about where cons sort of appear now, we have to assume correctly, I would say, not even an assumption. I think it's very much the case. Cons have gone digital. And what that means for cyber criminals is they can reach more people. What that means for us as the public is we're more exposed. But if I'm going to set the scene in terms of cyber attacks, because we want to kind of look at this, it is a cyber attack. People think that cyber attacks are only on businesses or government institutions. No, actually, it's us as well, as individuals in the public. So there's a global average that says 80% of attacks originate in our inbox. That's the global average, 80%. In the UK, 83% is the average. So slightly higher than the global average. But what it tells us is, or should say what it informs us, is that it's not going away. It'll probably never go away. And the best thing that we can do is to start informing ourselves through education what it is to look out for, what it is that we need to be aware of, and how best to alert others as well. In a nutshell, it's lack of awareness or lack of education. And you'll hear me say that quite a lot probably today, because it actually does, it makes a huge difference. You know, if we educate ourselves into how scams look typically, then I think we'll see sort of a reduction in victims. We'll see more people being able to report them because they'll be able to identify them and feel confident in identifying them. But of course, you know, life. Sorry, do you want to?
So carry on.
Yeah. Life gets in the way. And from previous discussions, I know you and I have had, and what I say to a lot of people is, you know, if you think about Friday afternoon, you want to go home, you know, especially after lunch on a Friday, you're already thinking about the weekend. You're already thinking about what you'd like to do that evening. You've got kids. You're already kind of wondering how you're going to entertain them that weekend. Or, you know, if you're seeing family, it's kind of like you're trying to brace yourself. And so, of course, you know, this is where human behavior is quite predictable. And I'm no expert, not like yourself, but we are predictable enough that cyber criminals know exactly when to sort of hit, as it were, and when we're likely to sort of give them the numbers they're looking for.
That's really important advice about being vigilant, about knowing what to look for. But cyber criminals are so good now. They can disguise things like they come straight from your bank. I mean, how can we begin to unpack some of those emails that we're getting, and how do we begin to understand, oh, hang on, this is a scam email rather than something from my bank?
It's a great question. And the thing is, if your viewers, or certainly if you yourself remember, one thing I'd said previously, and I think it was about a year ago we spoke, is that AI, guess, you know, that's been the buzzword for the last year when we think about, you know, Google's Bard and ChatGPT. AI was always considered part of that threat because we all have our kind of nuances, idiosyncrasies, and to pick that up in the way that we write, AI, of course, can do that. And so when we think about those emails that purport to be from HMRC or perhaps from the CEO of the company you're working for, AI is going to take those scams to another level. But if we think, if we sort of claw back a little bit and we sort of think, okay, let's think about you and I as individuals, your listeners, your viewers, I'm going to say something which might sound like I'm fobbing everyone off. Common sense. Common sense. And let me qualify that. Because when we look at something, we look at things in a rush. But the reality is, if you're getting an email that's totally unexpected, The first question you should ask yourself is, does it look right? Well, if it doesn't look right, okay. You know, that could be pixelated images. It could be something as simple as bad grammar. Again, this sort of the use of AI, which we will see become, which will increase, we'll probably start to see less bad grammar. But also something like, were you expecting that email? Is it something that, you know, are you likely to have been put onto a list? Sometimes you don't know, like say you sign up for a newsletter on one website. Strictly speaking, they shouldn't have sold your data on. But for example, in America, it's a very different system. And of course, let's not even get into the fact that it's a federal system over there. So it changes from state to state. But again, let me come back to something I've said before, which is about educating yourself. So the National Cybersecurity Center, Action Fraud, just to name only two organizations, they have a lot of resources. YouTube is also resplendent with resources where people have gone out of their way to create free resources to help educate the public. And I think the other thing is, isn't it something that our parents always taught us, or our teachers always taught us? If we're not sure, ask. Ask. And I think that's, you know, I think remaining vigilant is actually in everybody's wheelhouse. I think it's just very much that life does get in the way. We can get distracted very easily. I think probably more so than ever before, our technology that we have at our fingertips will absolutely get in the way of our life. We'll absolutely kind of take our attention, distract us. Just, you know, we can be here all day talking about how technology has changed our lives for good and for bad.
What about the less technologically sophisticated scams? So maybe online romance scams, where you meet someone and you are on a dating site. So that makes sense. It is expected. How do we protect ourselves? How do we know who's real and who's not?
Yes, I believe that we call that catfishing, don't we? And even I can't remember, I think it was MTV that did a whole show on catfishing. So it's a good question. And I think, you know, online dating is probably, I wouldn't say it's only just reached its peak, but I think there's, and without naming any names, because God forbid we don't want to endorse any of them, really, let's be honest on this show. But there are some very popular dating apps. And what we've noticed as an industry is that industry itself has addressed the issue by giving users the opportunity to verify themselves. Now, is this foolproof? I would say it isn't foolproof, but it's at least one way of ensuring that the person you'll speak to is verified by the platform. Listen, we've said this before, cyber criminals are incredibly lazy, and they will look to maintain multiple dating profiles if they are using a dating site as a means to scam people. They, whilst you can probably get around the verification algorithms on, so for example, they may, something as simple as printing out a picture, pretending it's them, you know, as you scan. There are ways to do it. If a cyber criminal, and this is an arbitrary figure, let's say they are going to set up 20 spam profiles, they just are too lazy. They just don't, it's about time. It's about, you know, spray and pray like they do with marketing, or historically used to do with marketing. So I think look out for the verified ticks on these dating apps. Ask the right questions. Don't assume that everybody necessarily is not who they say they are. Some people just don't want to go through the verification process. Maybe they've started using an app and they're like, maybe just online dating to them is a bit skeptical of that. I know plenty of people that are, and that's fine. But ask the right questions. And again, go with your gut. I know it sounds like a fob, but if it really, really isn't, because there's one thing that can be said about our instincts. And our instincts are rarely wrong. Again, not infallible, but rarely wrong. It doesn't feel right, probably isn't. That's one thing. Again, education is really important. I mean, if you're listening to this or watching this, you know, hopefully those tips will help. And again, another one is, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
Yeah, so important. And the difficulty when it comes to romance scams is it plays upon our vulnerability, our need to be loved and desired. And often we might be on that site for a reason. And so we have to be extra careful. So what if, you know, you have mentioned the National Cybersecurity Center and Action Fraud. What if you are a victim of a scam? And there's kind of two questions here. One is the practical side of things, but the second is also the psychological hurt that you have to deal with. How do you manage both of those?
Okay, so let's look at it kind of from the non-emotional side. So if you are a victim of a scam or you believe you're a victim of a scam, you can contact people like Action Fraud. They're very good. There's other organizations out there. If at any point, so if we let's think about the kind of the emotional side. Okay, look, if you're upset about it, talk to friends and family. No one these days will judge you, and certainly they shouldn't be judging you. It's unfortunately, it's so common now that no one's going to judge you. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, your cousins who you get on really well with might not rib you a little bit about it. They might. But I'm just saying, don't deliberately put yourself in isolation. It's so common nowadays and so human as well that there's absolutely nothing to be ashamed of. Absolutely nothing. So that's one thing. If you do happen to feel that what's happened puts you in any danger, for goodness sake, please contact the authorities, contact the police. They won't laugh you out. They won't disregard what you're saying. If you genuinely feel threatened, go in with some notes and bullet points that you can also hand over to them. Let them know times, dates, things like that, just so they can build a case as well for you. Because it could be that you inadvertently are helping them capture a criminal group, because there may have been similar reports and similar patterns to fraudulent behavior or to a scam. So you're actually helping them. Never feel too afraid to go to the police. It's really important you do. Alert your bank if you feel it's necessary. That's really, really important. But yeah, look, if there are practical ways, and obviously, you know, emotionally speaking, you'll be well within your rights to feel violated, to feel unsafe. That's okay. Please, it's human. It's understandable. Please then reach out to people that you trust and speak to them. And again, if you need to, please reach out to the authorities. That's really, really important. Some of these might seem pretty obvious. Some of these will come with a caveat, and I'll explain what the caveats are. So, for example, one of the first things I say, don't click on links within an email. Don't download attachments from an email. Now, the caveat is, unless you're expecting that email. So, for example, you try to get into your email account and you've forgotten the password, and you've asked for them to send you a password link to reset the password. Well, obviously, you can click on that because you were expecting it. Okay. Again, if you're expecting, you know, somebody suddenly says, oh, hey, I want you to collaborate with me on a Word document. You think, well, who is this person or why would they ask me to do that? That's a bit strange. Hey, pick up the phone and call. Remember, we can still pick up the phone and call. Nobody, again, we are in a climate that has changed. We are in a climate that if you call someone, you say, listen, I got this email. Was this from you? They will appreciate that. Because it could inform them as well that they have been the victim of a scam as well. So perhaps an email account takeover. So, you know, communication is key here as well. Again, education. And I think ensuring you have a decent antivirus, anti-malware software suite installed, I think is important. Again, they're not going to stop everything. Please don't use a free one. There are some decent free ones out there. There certainly are. But look, at most, you'll spend £60 a year for a fairly decent one. And believe me, it's £60 very well spent. And you know what? Most of those packages, they allow you to actually use up to 5 computers. So you effectively have 5 licenses. So do you know what? There's another thing here. You know, we're going through still a cost of living crisis. So do you know what? £60, if it's too much for you, that's fine, no judgment. But when they come with 5 licenses, do you know what? Split the cost. Split the cost. Why not? Why not? You know, these companies, they're not going to encourage you to do that in terms of, hey, split it between multiple households. That's not really what it's there for. But you know what? Do it. It's better that you're safe than not. I think backing up your data is very, very important. And probably the most important tip I'll give you is use an authenticator app. So what this essentially is, and for me, Google probably does the most, I say simple, but please don't mistake the word simple for being rubbish. It's probably the easiest and most user-friendly authenticator app I've come across. And basically what an authenticator app is when you log in, let's just say for argument's sake, Instagram, because you hear of lots of people losing their access to their Instagram accounts. So when you put in your username and password, they will ask you for a one-time code. And you go into, and basically within Instagram, you set this up. And sometimes it's as simple as they'll put a QR code on the screen. You'll take a screenshot of that, or you'll use your camera, and it will help set everything up with the Google Authenticator app. But basically what it means is if your credentials, if someone has managed to find out your, obviously your username for Instagram is pretty obvious, much like on Twitter, sorry, X, but it's your password. So most people will share passwords with other accounts, not with other people necessarily, but with other accounts. And so what then happens is if those credentials are compromised, they'll get in. Except if you're using an authenticator app, it provides you an extra level of security. We call it two-factor authentication or multi-factor authentication, but the idea is it gives you a one-time password which resets every 60 seconds on the app and allows for secure login of your account, but also protects your account. Again, nothing is infallible, but that's probably my biggest tip, not just to protect yourself from scams, but just to stay safe online. So yeah, that would be number one tip. Use, again, I'm not necessarily endorsing Google Authenticator app. I'm just saying it's probably the easiest to use.